Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:20 Central African time. I tell you, Boniface, I already love the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huwa Allahu allazi la ilaha illahu rahmanu rahim, an-nuru al-kudusu al-maliku al-mulk al-zujul al-wal-ikram. I tell you, people, I can just go on with those superlatives. They're simply one of the best ever and one of the top men of the Indian Ocean. Durban's a PRO. Durban's the king of the fishers, or the king of the fishermen. The professori, none other than our very own Adam Kamda. Adam, where art thou? There's the gloomy sky and the murky waters. What happens now is the storm. But when the storm clears, then there'll be no atomic bomb. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you doing this morning, Adam Kamda?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafat. Yes, beautiful morning on the Durban beachfront. I saw an article on Facebook yesterday regarding snow in the Berg, and we can feel it in Durban already. The temperatures have plummeted. It's gone down to about 15 degrees. So I'm standing here at the edge of the ocean, Shafat, with my socks and sandals on, and as I gaze out to the north, I can see there's some clouds coming down. I can see rain around the Amschlanga area. It rains a bit in the Durban area in the morning, so everything's wet and the clouds are still heavy. Looking south, I can see rain out at sea as well, Shafat.
I tell you, Adam, when I got up this morning, or in the earlier hours of the morning, there were torrential rain. There was actually gale force wind in this part of the world, in Sapinga Beach. And then it rained again before Fajr and a little bit after that. But the skies are gloomy. And your good friend, Irshad Vaizi, was so wise. Like you, just like you. Yesterday, they made hay while the sun shone, or they went into the bay while the sun shone. And well, we noticed that Abhizi went with his jet ski into the, into the Spingo Beach seas. But Adam, I want you to describe the feeling that you and Dad had. There, you as a a good son, as a blessed son, you dedicated the whole day to Dad. Now, I want you to describe that to our listeners, and I want you to motivate other sons to do what you do for Dad. You're a good son, Adam.
Yes, Shafat. My philosophy is never take your parents for granted. Always do the best. Don't put anything off for tomorrow. If you're planning to do something, just get up and go ahead and do it. For this weekend, I could see the forecast was showing pretty windy weather for Sunday, which is today, and the forecast turned out to be spot on. So it's really not a pleasant day to go out on a boat, whether it's the bay or deep sea. The seas will be very rough today. So on Friday, I told Dad, come, let's make a trip in the bay and go fishing in the harbor. The weather is stunning for Saturday. I don't normally take off on Saturday because it's really, usually very busy at the shop. But my parents come first, my dad comes first, and so I said, let's take Saturday off and go and wet a line. And we had a fantastic day yesterday, Shafa'at. There was a light whisper of a breeze, which gave us a very gentle drift. We could fish with light tackle. Initially, the fishing was a bit slow, but we enjoyed the scenery, sipped some cool drink and had some chips and just enjoyed the surroundings. And before long, the fish came on the bite. We didn't catch any very big fish, but we had some fun. We had some good fights and took some lovely photos and just enjoyed being back on the water, Shafa'at. It's been quite a long time, and it's nice to get things going again. And as you mentioned, Shafa'at, to encourage others, you only know what it's like to when you lose a parent, that you long for those days to spend more time with them, and you feel, I should have done this, I should have done that. So if you are blessed with your parents still around, then take every moment to visit them, to spend time with them, to tell them how much you love them. And if there are activities you can do together, try and do it as often as possible. So when the inevitable day comes that they take leave of this world, then you will have no regrets, Shafa'at.
Said it so eloquently. He says when the reality comes and when the day comes, you'll have no regrets. And look at it, people. I know Saturday Adam is chock-a-block. Those are the words. I can't find any other superlatives. His shop is chock-a-block. He's so busy. So Adam took off on a Saturday to take Dad out. What are some of the conversations that you all had, Adam? Tell us, like, you know, your sandwiches. I mean, Vizy has described it like the whole world, you know, they are loose. This is Afrikaans, where they're loose for your sandwich. What conversation did you and Dad have, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, we always reminisce to the old days. You know, the water condition was so much better in those days in the Durban Harbour. Recently, we've had so much of pollution, and I think, you know, it amounts to a poor maintenance or mismanagement of our wastewater systems. You know, if anyone's listening out there and can assist and can bring this to the attention of the correct departments, the fish are dying in the harbour, Shafat. You know, it's really a dire situation, and so we launched from the yacht mole and we went all the way to the harbour entrance. We fished around the coaling dumper and A shed area where it's closer to the harbour entrance, and the water condition is much cleaner there. But the area around the Durban Marina is really horrendous. And so those are the conversations we have, Shafat. It's, you know, how beautiful the harbour used to be 20 to 30 years ago, and how it's deteriorated. But even with all the doom and gloom, Shafat, we still find a way to entertain ourselves and to enjoy being on a boat, being, you know, to enjoy floating around and taking in the scenery. And, you know, I think South Africans are resilient like that. No matter what obstacles come our way, we keep trudging forward and try and find solutions, Shafat.
You know, Adam, what even gets to me, I went into a deep thought, and I thought of how I, you know, used to enjoy the Indian Ocean here in the Sepingo Beach, go to Tiger Rocks, enjoy our puddles, or lie on the sea sand, take in the sun, you know, sometimes cover myself with the full sea sand right up to the neck. You know, you dig the hole. And today, you know, because of the crime factor and because of the situation that has changed since the ANC have taken over 30 years later, you know, even our infrastructure, everything has failed. I mean, even the shorelines here are not so clean. And when you're walking, the pristine, pure shoreline, I remember we used to pick up shells and so forth. And there was a safety factor. You can walk one end of Sepingo Beach from Rivermouth right to Tiger Rocks. There was this serene, that cool, calm look. And every corner and every different you know, route on the shorelines gave you a different type of ambiance, a different feeling. You know, you thought you were in an island, and sometimes you're open sea and you got your own island to yourself and so forth. You know, that safety factor is no more there. But what saddens me, Adam, is the pollution factor, as you said. I mean, the fish are not only dying in the Durban Harbour, here at Rivermouth, the estuary is the same story. You'll actually see the fish coming up and gulping for air. I mean, it's such a sad sight indeed, Adam. Your comments?
Yes, Shafar, those are two very important factors that we as fishermen are fully aware of. Not so long ago, people used to drive down the South Coast, park their cars, take a walk, as you mentioned, many miles on the beach, looking for the, you know, reading the water and fishing, finding the fish and really enjoying themselves and coming back, and the vehicles were untouched. Now, the safety factor is dire. You know, lots of fishermen come back to the parking area and find that the vehicles have been stolen. And it's not only in remote spots, Shafat. I've seen, messages about guys losing their vehicles at Blue Lagoon, which is a very popular spot and not isolated. You know, it's right here in the city, and even that is not safe. And coming to pollution, I have no words, Shafat. It's really, you know, if you look at all the reports of the testing of the beaches, the seawater along our Durban beaches has not been favorable. And as you mentioned, the estuary system at Sepingo Beach, I remember as a little kid playing around that area and watching, you know, wildlife thrive there with crabs running around, fish. You could see fish in the estuary swimming around. You could see birds diving and collecting fish from the estuary. It was a microcosm of, you know, it was like a little Eden. It was as if you're in Jannat, as if you're in heaven, Shafat. But now with pollution from upstream, whether it's industry or human settlements, all that has changed, and the estuary is, I think, on its last legs, Shafat. Something needs to be done to revive it.
You know, Adam, it was former Springbok coach, and also the Sharks coach, Ian McIntosh, you know, once I was sitting next to him on the plane. And he asked me, you know, where do you live? And I said, I live in a place called, it's a Pingo Beach. He said, wow, I remember that in the 50s. I used to go there, and it was known as the Little Paradise. And you actually mentioned that just now, you know, it was like a Jannah on earth. Yeah, I mean, that's how pure, how beautiful. You could hear the fish eagles and the kingfish and all these. There was life there. There were pink prawns, people say they could eat from there. And, you know, once there was a huge flooding, and I remember these, they pulled out a big eel. I mean, there were about 10, 20 of them standing, and that eel was about meters and meters long. I don't know, you must have been quite young then, but I remember seeing that that visual, you know, graphic photo of that on one of the national newspapers, but it was in Spingo Beach, and it believed that, you know, people really, it was a sight to behold. And I know when we grew up in such a pure and pristine, type of environment, that, you know, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. But as you said, all that has dissipated. And as we move on, Adam, what's the motion in the ocean? What's biting and what's the feeling amongst the fishermen? You know, we used to have a fishing competition and it was the rods. Are they having drone fishermen competition where you fish with a drone and you are purely judged on the catch you catch with your drone? Have they come out with a competition like that for fishermen, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, I can extend that analogy of the Pingo Beach estuary. You know, it's like a fairy tale scenario where they even had a hotel and restaurant built on an island. It was called Island Hotel. And you could picture it as being like a palace or a fort with a moat around it. You have to drive over this little bridge, in the estuary to get to this building. And it was so amazing and pristine in its heyday. Yes, coming to fishing competitions, Shafa, there's lots of controversy regarding drone fishing. A lot of fishermen have invested a lot of money in this sport. It's an amazing forward-thinking hobby. Some people are against the technology of drones being used in fishing, but there really isn't anything new, Shafa'at, because 50 years ago, people were using kites to get the bait out beyond the breakers, and this is the same principle. It's just that you're using an electronic device to get your bait out beyond the breakers. So most drone fishing is on hold at the moment. The authorities have put out a letter saying that drone fishing is not allowed. And so there is a lot of confusion whether it's been cast in stone, whether it's been made a law or not, or it's just a warning letter. So a lot of the drone fishermen are on the back foot. So I don't foresee any drone fishing competitions taking place in the near future, Shafat. But having said that, the fishing in itself, you know, two fishermen standing next to each other, you can't help but to have a little bit of a competition in you and see who catches the biggest fish. So fishing competitions will continue. There's lots of surf fishing competitions as well as boat fishing competitions organized by clubs regularly, Shafat.
I'm looking at the screen here and a message from Brother Rafiq. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafat and Adam Kamda. I really enjoy the rapport. It's absolutely breathtaking and refreshing. Jazakallah khair for that, brother. He says, I was robbed of 3 years ago, and they took my rod, they took my car, and they took everything away. And subsequently, Adam, after that, I never went back to the ocean. But now and then, I go to a private dam and go do some fishing just to get the feeling. But it's never like the ocean. But Adam, I think we should be organizing trips like this for family. And perhaps you could even mention some of the private dams that are in our area in the KZN that we can go as a family and enjoy in security and safety. Adam, how do you respond to brother there?
But the private dams are not really available to the general public. These are usually dams on people's farms, and they would invite their families and their close friends to come and fish on their farms. What's available to us, Shafat, is Inanda Dam and Hazelmere Dam. I grew up learning to sail on dinghies in these dams and Midma Dam as well, and never really saw them as a fishing destination. But of late, Shafat, a lot of my friends have been going down to Hazelmere Dam and catching bass. And you don't even need to have a boat, Shafat. You can set up a picnic on the shore's edge and have a few throws with some Makati paddletails and get stuck into some great bass action. Or if you do have a boat, there's lots of places to explore where there's submerged trees holding huge bass. And you can really have a lot of fun in these dams, Shafat.
You talk about bass, and people talk about bass and carp and all these things, catfish. Do you find all of them there in these different dams, the Hazelmere, Midmar Dam, and what about the Shongweni Dam, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, Shongweni Dam is also very popular. I think there is carp there. I'm not so much of a freshwater fisherman, but I think most of these dams will hold barbel and bass. And some of them will hold carp as well. Carp is pretty much a specialized style of fishing. You use a completely different tackle from bass fishing. And even specimen carp, you know, sometimes the guys camp over 3 days and they throw feed into the ground to get the carp to come and graze, and they try and catch as big carp as possible. Some of them even 15 to 20 kilos, Shafar. These are really huge specimens, but it's a very patient sport. If you are doing bass fishing, it's a much more active style of fishing where you're casting a lure and retrieving it in different styles to try and entice the bite. And the bass is a game fish, Shafat. You know, they very often jump into the air and have a lot of theatrics and aerobatics. So it's quite fun, you know, to get kids involved in bass fishing. And most of them have converted to catch and release now, Shafat. They're not keeping any fish. They'll catch for sport and they'll release the fish safely back into the water, Shafat.
Well, you heard Adam said theatrics and aerobatics. Hey, I can see that style, people, how he's doing that. And I think it's like a gymnast. Yeah, they go and do this turn and that turn. And how they do it, hey, it's incredible. They must be 110% fit. I'm noticing messages are flying in here. Brother Tyre says, Assalamu alaikum. Adam, I no more go big time fishing. I just go to the local supermarkets, the big ones, and I look for fish there. I can tell you, recently I've been buying the angel fish, and I'm enjoying it dearly, Adam. It's one of the best fish I've eaten. Kassam. Adam, I respond to our brother. He reckon he's not buying fish. He's not going fish. I'm talking fishing language. Hey, I'm not buying fishing. He doesn't go fishing, but he goes to the supermarkets, and he's addicted to angel fish. Your thoughts?
Yes, Shafat, you know, I advocate supporting your local fishmonger as much as I love fishing so much myself and prize having fresh fish on the table. But sometimes time doesn't permit it or the weather doesn't permit it. And I often walk into United Fisheries in Amsterdam and support them. So I would recommend support your local fishmonger, even if you are a fisherman. You know, they reciprocate. When I catch a lot of fish, sometimes I'll take it to them and they clean it for me. So I support them and they support me. It's quite a happy medium. But I'm all for supporting the fishmongers, even if you are a fisherman, Shafat.
I tell you, yeah, you got the right style. You know, reciprocation will be there, and you keep a good heart, and you know, you're magnanimous. You notice the barakah will be flowing all around. Now, you know, what I like, I love, you know, good fish rolls, fresh fish rolls, and give it to me anytime. I will have it with pumpkin, or I'll have it with butternut, and you know, with all that, and it must be nice and tangy and pungy. What's your favorite fish roll, and how do you identify that the fish rolls are fresh, Adam?
Shafat, judging the fish roll is quite different from looking at a fish in the fish shop, Shafat, because it's usually laid out nicely, neatly in a tray and frozen and cling-wrapped. So here, you really need to rely on your relationship with the fishmonger, and be able to trust, because you know that I've got fresh fish roe. Then you really, it's a trust of the relationship, Shafat. And I've never been disappointed, as I mentioned, at my local fishmonger, United Fisheries. So I've always had fresh fish roes whenever they've come in. But fish is another story altogether. There's lots of clues and telltales. You know, the sunken eyes and the redness of the gills and the firmness of the flesh, Shafat. You know, you can quite easily make out a fresh fish compared to a stale fish, Shafat.
And you know, with your fish roe, do you have it fried or you boil it in packets and then you cook it? How do you make yours, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, it's nice to boil it a bit. Just add a touch of vinegar and steam it, and then make a nice tomato chutney, Shafat, with some sliced onions in there and some green chilies, lots of garlic and ginger as well, and then you add this pre-cooked fish roes in it. But be careful not to overcook it as well, Shafat, and you must have that lovely tangy tomato taste in with the tomato chutney, Shafat.
Hey, I'm going to make some amli juice now. Come here, Adam. Let's put that there too. Be ready. Get the haska roti. Yeah. And you want to put the aloo fry next to it. Let's go for it, Adam. We got the people. I tell you, the taste buds are like drooling. It's drooling. You know, you talk about fish rolls and you talk about that and you bring this in. I tell you, that's a divine child to have. What about sugar beans and sugar beans and haska roti with sliced onions and vinegar, Adam? What do you think of that?
Shafar, you're reminding me of my trip to Mozambique where we had sugar beans and we had fresh tuna. So we had seared tuna on the side with sugar beans and pau, which is the traditional Portuguese bread. And we had some fritos on the side, like papar, Shafar. And that went down really well with some ice cold Coke as well.
Hey, you're killing us, eh? You're killing us here, people. It's cold and we feel like chowing. Adam, we have to try that one day. We'll do it at that Sphingo Beach Club here, that's launch where you launch your ski boat. Now, a question that I wanted to ask you. There, Vizy yesterday went out into the Indian Ocean with his jet ski. You went out in the Durban Bay with your beautiful yacht and your motorboat. Which is easier to move in with? You know, there, Vizy standing there and fishing. I noticed that his jet ski didn't fall. It stood up there. Which is easier to maneuver? Your boat or the jet ski?
Yes, Shafat. Traditionally, you know, in a boat, you need to have crew to help you to launch it and retrieve it. And even to when you drop the anchor and retrieve the anchor. So it's always good to have extra crew on board. But if you fish often, you find that a lot of times crew lets you down. Either they are busy with work or busy with family commitments and they can't commit to the trip. So you as a skipper end up maybe canceling your trip because you don't have enough crew. So coming to the jet ski, it's a one-man show, Shafat. As long as you get someone to push you, you know, use the tractor and push you through the waves, and you can launch. You know, you can fish at a whim. You know, you can just decide in the morning, oh, the weather's looking good, let's go, I want to go fishing. And it's just you and you alone on the jet ski and the ocean, Shafat. So you're not reliant on reliable crew or anything. You know, you just launch, you go out there, you do your thing, you come back. So it's pretty much a convenience thing, Shafat. It's a lot of fun to be on a jet ski. Even if you're not fishing, just scooting around the ocean on this motorized, it's like a motorbike on water, Shafat, is really, really a lot of fun. And to have the added bonus of being able to catch some nice fish when you're out there as well, that's really a cherry on the top.
Absolutely. Now, Adam, I know you got something ideal for this weather. We're all waiting for your recipe. And Diggy for say, Adam, I want a recipe. Well, lad, what do you have for us this morning, Adam?
Hey, Shafat, I decided to share with you my bhajia recipe. This is so simple. It's just a long list of ingredients which you lump together, mash it up, make it a nice batter, and then fry them in oil in balls. So you start with 1 cup of chana flour, 1/4 cup flour, 2 teaspoon baking powder, 1 teaspoon dana jeera, salt to taste, about maybe 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 2 to 3 teaspoons of green masala, And then greens of your choice, be it lettuce, spinach, or shallots, etc. One medium-sized onion, finely sliced. One medium-sized potato grated. One teaspoon red ginger garlic masala. Add a little water and mash this all up, as I said, into a fine paste. And then spoon it into piping hot oil and fry them till it's fried all the way through. And serve this with a chutney of your choice, Shafaz.
I tell you, Adam, absolutely brilliant, and that will go down well with a hot, hot chai also, maybe a lovely coffee then. Your parting words this morning, Adam?
Yes, Shafaz, I'd love everyone and encourage everyone to come out to the beachfront and watch the sunrise. As we stand now, the sun beams shining through the clouds, and it looks like it's going to be a brilliant day ahead. Love everyone to wish everyone well for the day, and remember me in your duas. Take care, and thanks for a lovely show, Shafaz. Salaams to you and the listeners.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our very own Adam Kamda. Really bringing the ocean alive, bringing the flavors alive. And if you haven't had your taste buds jumping, then there's something wrong. You weren't listening deep enough. Yeah, we took you into the deep end of flavors and gave you different dimensions of fishing and how Adam had taken Dad around the Durban Bay. Yeah, it's not the Bay of Plenty. It's the Durban Bay. Got a lot of grunters there.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.